Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Wednesday, October 2nd, 2019, and we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, How It Works, and we are on page 58, reading the third paragraph, which begins with, At Some of These We Balked. Today's readers are Miriam Rifka for the 12 Steps, Cami H. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Leslie W., Alice G., and Penny L. C. in the backup position. Our newcomer greeter today is Nan K., and we'll have some announcements for you at the end of the meeting as well from Leslie W. The reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting yesterday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for October 1st, is 13464. That's 13,464. And the reference number for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for October 1st, Tuesday, is 13467. That is 13,467. And the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There's no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here they are. I will now ask Miriam Rifka to please read the 12 steps. Star one to unmute, please, Miriam.
Hi, it's Miriam Rifka, compulsive eater. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much, Miriam Rifka. And I will now ask Cami H. to please read the 12 traditions.
Yes, good morning. My name is Cami L., compulsive overeater in Maryland. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Tammy Allen. I'm sorry for the mix-up on your name. May not be the first name I mix up today. Okay, so how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted using star 1, please. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works. We're on page 58. We're going to read and comment on one paragraph only because it's packed. It's the third paragraph beginning with it, some of these we blocked. And I will ask Leslie W. to please begin reading.
Hey, thanks, Elaine. This is Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Okay, at some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go. Absolutely. And I looked up the definition of balked. So balked, to balk means to hesitate or to be unwilling to accept an idea or an undertaking. And I know that sure describes my attitude when I walked into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous. I just did not want to believe that I was as bad as some of the other people that I saw or heard in the meetings. And a way that I justified that thought was because I did not have as much weight to lose as some that I saw. And so I thought, well, if I don't have at least 100 pounds to lose, then I'm not really a hardcore compulsive overeater, and I don't really have to do all these things. It turns out that no matter how the disease manifests itself physically, it's the same in the mind. And so for me, I knew that I was miserable in my mind. I knew that my thinking around food was not normal. I knew I needed help, but the mistake that I made when coming in, which was almost 10 years ago, was, you know, that I did not take this disease very seriously, because the messages that I received were easier and softer. You know, it's just food. I mean, how could somebody be addicted to food? I just need to go on a diet. I need to just moderate. I need to learn how to intuitively eat. I need a personal trainer. I need to join this weight loss group so I can just, you know, have some accountability and weigh in every week. I need the right food plan. I need the right sponsor. All of these things that I did, you know, looking for that easier, softer way, it didn't work. But, you know, nobody can tell you that until you go through it. You have to get to that point. Each of us has to get to that point where we are done holding on to our old ideas and ready to try something new. And that's what this program of recovery offers us. If we are willing to do the things which are necessary to recover from our disease. And with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks, Elaine.
Thank you very, very much, Leslie W. Great start. So who would like to comment on this, the third paragraph on page 58?
Laura. Okay.
Whoa, Nellie. Let's try that again.
Laura W.
Randy M.
John
K.
John
K.
And somebody M. Brandy M. maybe. Hang on. And
yeah.
Christina J.
Rachel P.
Rachel P.
Roz G.
One more. That's it. Okay, so here's what I got. I got, I believe it was Lori L., Brandy M., John K., Christina J., Rachel P., Roz G., and if I got you wrong, please forgive me right in advance, and you can correct me when I call your name. We're going to start out with Lori L., followed by Brandy M. Please go ahead, Lori.
It was actually Laura W.
Laura W., thank you so much.
That's okay.
Right off the bat. Thanks. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. And this is a very powerful paragraph to me. The sentence, some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. And we don't really use the word nil that much anymore, but it means, you know, the result was nothing. I mean, it's sort of like putting 75 cents in a vending machine for an item that's a dollar, and you're not going to get three quarters of it. You're going to get nothing. And some of these old ideas for me as coming in as an anorexic was if I gained weight, I was a bad person, that food was, you know, food was dangerous and scary. Food wasn't something that is fuel for my body. It was something that I had to fear. Thin meant that I was well. Literally, if I got my menstrual cycle, I was fat. Those are the type of ideas that I lived with for many, many years. And, you know, some of us have, I've tried to hold on to those for years and sort of take what I want and leave the rest. But again, the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Absolutely means 100%. And for the last 15 years, I've been letting go absolutely one day at a time, and God's given me the gift of recovery, not just abstinence. Recovery, I've heard over and over, is the art of remaining undisturbed. And somebody's unmuted. And, you know, when I think of letting go, I always hear that story of the monkey with his holding on to that peanut with his hand in a bottle, and he keeps holding on to that peanut, pulling his hand out and jamming his hand against the bottle, and he can't get it out, and he can't get it out. And little does he know, all he has to do is open up his hand, let that peanut drop, and his hand will slide out. And that is what this program is to me. God is the easier, softer way. The program is the easier, softer way. Thinking about what I did to in my disease was so exhausting, the planning and the plotting and the lying and the stealing and the cheating. You know, that's not easy and that's not soft. That's difficult and hard, and this is the easier, softer way. And one day at a time, to work these steps and to rely on God for me is truly the gift that keeps on giving. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Laura W. Okay, Brandy M., you're up next, followed by John K.
Good morning. It's Brandy M., food addict. I am coming out of relapse and have put down the food for 3 weeks now and coming out of the fog. And I love this paragraph because this is what I've done. This is how I've lived my life, trying to find the easier, softer way so I would not have to do what you guys said I needed to do to get recovery. Or I did not want to put down, you know, I would put down the sugar, but I did not want to put down anything else. And I didn't want to listen. I thought I had all the ideas. Walking through life, you know, at, again, almost 300 pounds and looking for, you know, joining those diets again, doing all of the shit that I've tried and tried and tried to do. And the result was nil in those as well because, again, my addict brain doesn't work with those ideas. And so I'm so grateful for this program and that, you know what, no matter what, I can keep coming back and that I don't have to stay away or be ashamed. I really appreciate that today I'm not looking for the easier, softer way, that I'm all in and that I'm letting go of what I think Brandy needs and what I think is the right stuff and going with what God thinks is, you know, the right ideas for me. And consciously trying to seek his contact on those things instead of making, you know, making decisions by myself. Today, I don't make food decisions on my own. And you would have asked me before relapse if I ever thought I had to do that. And I would have said, you're freaking crazy. But today, my disease has gone to a place where, you know, it was killing me. And the seriousness of this disease, I never got. I always thought, you know, it's just food, it's just food. And other people told me it's just food. And today I get that this disease is going to kill me if I don't stop. And it's serious. And, you know, I needed to seek outside help, which I never thought I would have to do. And, yeah, so for today, I'm super grateful that, you know, all the voices on the line are still here, even when I'm not. And, yeah, I hope everyone has another good 24 hours. Thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you very, very much, Brandy M. John K., you're up next, and you're going to be followed by Christina J.
Thank you very much. John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater in Los Angeles. You know, this paragraph, I mean, these guys understood the problem. You know, they understood addiction. This chapter could be called How Addiction Works, if you think about it. They knew that the key to conquering, you know, any addiction is surrender, you know, total surrender. You know, my friend Sheila J., she always says, the battle is over, and you lost. One of the things most of these early guys had in common is they were low-bottom drunks. You know, they'd had the disease for a long time, and I'm sure they had all searched for years for an answer, you know. The trouble is they had a disease, you know, that impaired their thinking and their decision-making, you know, when it came to drinking, you know. And the answer is surrender, you know, but our disease will keep chirping the alternative to surrender into our ears, and that's negotiation. My disease wants, you know, wants to take recovery on the cafeteria plan, you know, and even though we compulsive eaters love cafeterias, they don't really work conquering the disease. You know, you can't negotiate with your disease because it'll always win. You know, why? Because it can read your mind. You know, can you imagine sitting down at a table to negotiate with somebody who can read your mind? I mean, there's no getting ahead of that, you know. Because I always find it funny, I hear people say, oh, I need a sponsor, but I want them to have this quality or that quality, or they have to have done this or that, you know. To me, it's like, if you're drowning and somebody throws you a lifesaver and you yell back to them, hey, this is nice, but do you have a blue lifesaver? You know, this one sort of clashes with my outfit, you know. And the same, I think, is true with the foods was for me, you know. I mean, how many foods did I have that I knew I couldn't eat like a gentleman, but I would shove them onto my yellow light list anyway because I didn't want to surrender. I wanted to negotiate because that was my disease having hold of me. You know, fearless and thorough are the key words in the surrender process when it comes to addiction. And this concept is repeated over and over in the book. You know, half measures avail us nothing. With all the desperation of drowning men, you know, to go back to that analogy. And to those of us with food issues, you know, it's even harder. You know, one of the main reasons I think OA isn't bigger than AA, even though there's a lot more compulsive eaters than alcoholics, is AA doesn't have a lot of competition. There are a lot of easier, softer programs, well, that work anyway, for alcoholics. But look at our problem. We're bombarded by hundreds, thousands of easier, softer ways. Every day there's a billion-dollar industry out there trying to convince us that we can have our cake and eat it too, you know. You know, you're standing in a supermarket checkout line and you'll see loads of tabloids, you know, with headlines like, eat all you want and still lose weight, you know. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to step back and see the big picture, you know. Oh, wait. Isn't easy or soft, but it is the easier, softer way compared to years of trying to find that magic pill, you know, because I can tell you the magic pill doesn't exist. And besides, if it did, I'd just hook on magic pills and that wouldn't work. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, John Kay. Christina J., you're up next, followed by Rachel P.
Good morning. It's Christina J. from Washington State. And I'm very grateful recovered compulsive overeater today. You know, ignorance is bliss, but not really, not in program. Ignorance is suffering. And I was born into a family, as I've shared before, where I wasn't loved by my father at all. And my mother, through the years, I had to do stuff perfectly to get her love and attention. And so I learned to try to be perfect. I learned to try to control everything. And that was a bad habit. But it got me into diets and exercise programs. And boy, I was going to be perfect. I was going to get that perfect body. And I was going to have that perfect life and that perfect happiness. But, you know, I was so restless and discontent my whole entire life. I realize now that in recovery, I suffered so long. I have such sympathy for the girl I was, for the young lady I was. Someone on the line shared earlier that they were 30 years old and they had they got it finally. I'm like, oh my God, it took me to 60 to get it. But at any rate, I didn't know what I was balking at. I did think that if I could get a diet program to go along with program that would work. And I did balk at stuff that I didn't realize I was balking at. As I said, I didn't know what it was to be fearless and thorough completely. And I had old ideas that I didn't know how to let go of. But you know what it took for me to start realizing what those things were was to put down the food completely. Until I put down the food completely and quit screwing around with it, thinking I could have, you know, I used to call them banana episodes. I used to have two or three bananas when I was irritable, restless, and discontent. I did not have the spiritual awakening yet. So I was trying to be perfect and yet playing with my food. I did everything my sponsor said. Back to the diet thing, I did every diet perfectly, and I was going to get this, and I was going to be the best in the class because I needed mom's love through everybody, and I needed to prove to dad that he could love me. And these were the things that drove my life. But as soon as I put that food down and I began to realize what surrender to God really meant, that I could surrender my day and I didn't have to worry about it, are you kidding me? I didn't have to worry about tomorrow or push forward to try to prove to anybody that I was lovable. Oh my God, that was when the miracle began to happen for me. And that's when I really began to get fearless and thorough with my program and begin to see what my old ideas were. And I began to let go of them. And now when they come up at night sometimes, or when I have a restless, irritable, and discontent day, I have tools, I have the program. And as I shared earlier, and as many have shared, the program becomes an easier way to get through life than the old way of eating and feeling completely miserable. Oh my gosh, you know what it's like to be in cravings. You know what it's like to feel stuffed and gross and feel like you're sweating and you can't fit into your car and your clothes are getting too tight and the old excuse, the dryer shrunk, my clothes doesn't work anymore. Anyway.
Gentle reminder.
I'm going to wrap up here and say, if you're a newcomer out there, just get in and do the work thoroughly, and you'll slowly come to realize that it'll happen. All right. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. Rachel P., you're up next, and after Roz G., we will take a new set of shares on the third paragraph on page 58 that begins with, "At some of these we balked." Please go ahead, Rachel P.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. Sorry if you hear my cat. She's hungry, and she's a compulsive overeater, too. As some of these we balked, we thought we could find an easier, softer way. There is no easier way. This is the solution. This is it. This is the only thing that could possibly work for me because I am a true compulsive overeater. This is the thing. And I knew that coming into program. I had tried everything, every diet, every scheme. I tried cutting out so many food groups. I had successfully, quote unquote, successfully lost 100 pounds. I was still miserable. I was still binging, and nothing that I had tried was working. And so I knew that this was the solution, and I had to give it everything I had, and I had to do it. We beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the start. Fear, I heard this in a meeting months ago, fear and God cannot occupy the same house. I had to really let go of my fear. I had to fake it till I made it. I was afraid, but I had to release the fear and just do the work. And that's how I got recovered. I could not hold on to my old ideas. And that, for me, that meant that I couldn't binge anymore. I couldn't obsess about food anymore. I couldn't restrict anymore. I couldn't over-exercise anymore. I couldn't compare my body to other people. I used to post my food to Instagram all the time because I was obsessed with the health and wellness kind of industry. And when I first started program, my therapist told me I wasn't going to do that anymore. After I got recovered, I thought she was crazy. I couldn't engage in those behaviors anymore if I really wanted to get recovered. And, of course, I couldn't just snap my fingers and not do them anymore. But what we do when we come into program is that we engage in these new habits and behaviors. We change our behavior in order to change our brains. It's a slow process. We rewire our brains by engaging in these behaviors, these things that our sponsors tell us to do and that our fellows recommend that we do. We do what they did to get recovered. And then we rewire the brain and we form these new neural pathways. That's how we get recovered. And it's a slow process. It takes time. But I knew that I had to do it if I wanted to get recovered, and I did. And it worked. And I promise, if you're new, if you're struggling, if you're in the food, I promise, if you do it, this will work. Let go of the fear. Let go of the pain. Start those habits that your sponsor tells you to do, and you will succeed. So I am so grateful for this program. I am so, so grateful that I don't have to engage in those behaviors anymore. And I get to live in the sunlight of the Spirit, and I get to be with all of you on this slide and in recovery. So thank you. I will pass.
Thank you very much, Rachel P. And again, after Roz G., who is up next, we'll take up a new lineup on page 58, the third paragraph. Please go ahead, Roz.
Hi, this is Roz G. I'm sitting in a very hidden place at work, so I'm going to make this quick. Wow. I love the share about putting 75 cents into the machine and expecting to get a dollar item out. Oh, my God. Thank you for that. You know, the set-aside prayer is sitting right in this paragraph. And I got a new sponsor in July, and I have done everything she's asked me to do since July the 10th. And I have been clean and abstinent since then. My body is at a weight it hasn't been in 31 years. And it's because I'm not balking and I'm doing what the big book says to do. And I believe that I sincerely tried to do that before, but I'm having a new experience with it because I have let go of my old ideas, especially when it came to a higher power. So every morning without fail, I'm on the phone with her. And then the days that I don't talk with her, I'm in prayer and meditation. And it's, I you know, it's like it's inconvenient. I'm tired. I'm sleepy. But the big book says that I have to do this, you know, every morning when on awakening. And weighing and measuring, that's inconvenient too. But I have to pull out that scale that used to collect dust. And there's my bell. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, thanks so much, Roz. Really appreciate your share. Everybody shares. Great shares today, and we've got time for some more. So please press star one to unmute and let me know if you would like to comment on this paragraph.
Des M.
Mo H. Sherry KB.
Mo H. Des M. Mo H. Sherry KB.
Alice D.
Alice C. and Cindy D. You know what? I think I might stop there and just see how that goes. Okay, folks? So let's just do that. So I've got Des M, Mo H, Sherry KD, Alice C, and Cindy D. And Des M, you're up, followed by Mo H. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Des M. Oh, sorry, I was on speaker. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, beautiful. My phone is being funny. Okay, so this is Des M, recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California, and I just prayed. I was like, God, well, if I'm heard first before I get in my car, I'll share. So God provided, and this paragraph is amazing. Super grateful to be in these meetings, and I'm just picking up on power today, and cunning, baffling, and powerful is our addiction, like I've heard, and so grateful that every morning for free I get to listen to truth about my addiction and about how I'm continually on a daily basis going to seek my own power. So I have to continually on a daily basis, you know, get into 10, 11, and 12. And on a daily basis, I have this solution, you know, and the result was nil until I let go absolutely daily. You know, a fellow kind of taught me how to add today into my prayers, like the seventh step prayer, you know, like, my creator, I'm now willing that you have all of me today, because my head likes to be in tomorrow and yesterday, and, you know, just for today, like, I don't have to be the power that controls this cold that I have, and that's the big lesson for my week, because my head is like, pretty sure you need to suck on Ricola cough drops, which are not abstinent for me, for 24 hours, because it's one of the first colds, I think, that I've had in abstinence, and so my truth today is that gargling with salt water is actually an effective method to get rid of my throat, and that I can stay in today and learn and be taught by my higher power how to trust that he's going to provide, the universe will provide, that a power outside of myself will provide, you know, and I'm just grateful for that. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and I hope you have a beautiful Wednesday. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Des M. Mo H., you are up next, and you are followed by Sherry KB. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Elaine. Good morning to all, and thank you all for these great shares and the early morning meeting, too. This is Mo H., very grateful, recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. Yeah, at some of these we balked. I liked what I've heard about this so far. And for me, you know, we thought we could find an easier, softer way. My easier, softer way was, what can I get away with? How much can I stretch this abstinent program, or even when I was younger? You know, how many foods can I eat that will not cause me to gain weight? Or how much can I exercise to get this weight off? Find an easier, softer way. And then this... we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. I wish I had been fearless and thorough from the very start, because I suffered in the rooms for 25 years before I got it, before a sponsor really got me digging into this big book and studying it and seeing that all the answers are right here. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the results were nil, zero, as we said, until we let go absolutely. And I was talking with my sponsor yesterday, and she came up with this, she gave me this question: are you willing to give up all control and get direction? All control. That's control of everything, not only my food, but my life circumstances, the people around me, things around me. No control. I have to let God give me the control, give me the direction that God wants me to go in. Oh, this really powerful, powerful paragraph. Yes, a small but powerful paragraph that no easier, softer way. There is no easier, softer way. The way is to weigh and measure my food every day, to work my steps like my hair is on fire every day, to sponsor others, and to carry the message. And my job every day is to carry the message and to be of help to those who want to hear the message. But first, I have to be willing to give up all my old ideas and belief systems because they don't work for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mo H. Cherry KB, you're up next, and you'll be followed by Alice B.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and Team Wednesday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. And I love that we're in How It Works. I love every chapter, what can I say? You know, everybody's been talking about, of course, the easier, softer way. And I spent decades, you know, they talk about looking at the record. So if I compare myself to myself when I came in the program, which was many years ago, I tried to do the easier, softer way up till I'd say about 2016. Yeah, I spent many decades doing it that way. And, you know, and nothing worked, really. Not really, not for long, I'll put it that way. And then it's telling me, you know, that with all the earnestness, so we're asking, we're begging you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. So to me, it's talking about, you know, doing the step work, connecting with God. You know, make sure you do a really good step two, because step two and three will take you to step four. That's why these steps are in order for a reason, because if I have a good relationship with my higher power, I know that my higher power is going to get me through step four and five and so on and so forth, and then I get unblocked and get connected to my higher power. Because if I don't do a thorough fearless moral inventory, I'll be back down facing the food. And it doesn't say perfect. It doesn't talk about morality. It talks about moral, which means the truth. That's what, you know, I learned is what is the truth about my part and when I do a step four. And that's what really helps me a lot, is having a connection with a higher power. And then I love that it talks about, you know, let go absolutely. And as someone has mentioned, this is the set-aside prayer. And what I like about it, and throughout We Agnostics, we saw the set-aside prayer being talked about. And people go, well, where is the set-aside prayer in the fourth step? And, I mean, excuse me, in the big book. And it doesn't say, because I believe in my heart the set-aside prayer is something that I can use throughout my whole life and word it in a way that works for me. But the basic is, please set aside everything that I think I know about you and this program, my spiritual path and you. And I add, for an open mind, an open heart, and a new experience with myself, this program, the 12 steps, and you, God. Please help me to see the truth. So, and I love it because I can use it in so many areas and so many things in my life. And it's telling me that I need to let go of my old ideas, my old beliefs, the things I've thought about this program, the food, all of that, and especially God. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sherry KB. Alice C., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Cindy D. Alice G., I'm sorry.
Good morning, everyone. This is Alice G. in Recovered Compulsive Overeater in Wisconsin, where we are soaked by rain. Anyway, it's good to be here this morning, and I'm so grateful to be abstinent and part of this program and participating in recovery. and participating in my life today. I love this meeting and how we pick apart the big book, paragraph by paragraph, and just really study it and dig into it. So, at some of these we balked, and someone else mentioned looking up the word, and I have a 1935 dictionary that I found at an antique store, and it mentions in there that balked means to stop and refuse to go as the horse balks. And I have horses, so I know what that's like. I've ridden horses all my life, and when they balk at something, they stop and they look at it sideways and they're afraid and they don't want to go forward. And that's what I did too with the program. I balked at all the suggestions every sponsor gave me. And I tell you what, I had so many sponsors. I changed my sponsors like I changed my underwear, you know. And some of them had to let me go. And I'm grateful for that today, because every sponsor that had to say to me, "You're in the food, Alice. I can't work with you. You're not hearing me." You know, I'm grateful for that today, because I got to the bottom that I needed to get to in order to recover. I balked at having a food plan. I balked at getting a nutritionist. I didn't want to weigh and measure my food. I didn't want to commit my food. I was always looking for that easier, softer way. And today, recovery is the easier, softer way, as has been mentioned many times. You know, I always waited for that Monday to roll around when things would get better, when I'd get on the plan this time, I'd have the right plan, I'd have the right diet, I'd have the right exercise. All that work I put into trying to manage this disease my own way. I had to let it go. I had to let it all go. And finally, at the end of my binging in February, it was every morning I woke up and wanted it to be a new start, you know, and it had gotten that bad that every morning I'd be like, okay, today's the day. It went from Mondays to every day I wanted to change. And finally, I was ready to put the food down and do whatever my sponsor said, you know, and she said, "You're going to weigh and measure. You're going to commit your food to me every day. I need you to pray and meditate. You need to do outreach calls and use all the tools and journal and get in the book and read and talk about what you're reading." And it was then that that recovery started for me, thank God. And it's so much easier than this way than being in my disease. My disease holds me hostage. So wow, that time went really fast, and I'm using it in my life today. I'm letting go of things, with my family. So I'm really grateful for that. Thank God for the program and for you all. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Alice G. And it looks like we'll have time for one more share after Cindy D. So please go ahead, Cindy, and then we'll take just one more share. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much. This is Cindy D, gratefully recovered in Texas. And, you know, I'm thinking back and, you know, I definitely thought that I had found the easier, softer way when I had bariatric surgery 25 years ago. And, you know, I thought this is the magic answer. I won't be able to eat and then I'll be thin and I'll be happy. And, you know, that lasted for maybe 5 minutes. And, you know, since then I look back and I see that I had gained and lost, you know, 100 plus pounds numerous times. And I ended up having to have multiple surgeries, and I'm still going through medical stuff, you know, as a result of that. And now I'm thinking that this was definitely, you know, part of my journey, but that God allowed me to make those decisions because I had to learn that it wasn't the easier, softer way. It turned out to be a pretty treacherous way for me. And, you know, my crazy thinking, I can still go back and say, well, you know, it was the best decision I could make then, but, you know, now I'm seeing that there I have other options. And I, too, when I came into program, much of like what everybody else has said, balked at these ideas that it was about spirituality and that I had to let go, absolutely. And I think I let go the best I could, and I think I'm still in the process of letting go, absolutely. Right now I have a new sponsor, and we're going to dig into the steps and go deeper. And I'm looking forward to that, to see what gets revealed to me. But, you know, to hold on to my old ideas doesn't serve me. It's only gotten me into a lot of heartache and a lot of trouble. And the thing that I most appreciate about program and about being recovered is the peace and serenity that I have most days. And that even when, you know, stuff comes up and it can be some painful core stuff that's coming up for me now, if I can turn and just look toward my higher power, you know, reach out to my fellows in program, I hear God speak through them, and I feel his presence, and I get to get reminded on these meetings of all those things that are so important to my recovery. And because I, you know, it's easy for me to forget. You know, I have selective memory sometimes and only want to remember what I want. But it's good to remember where I came from and what the struggles felt like versus what recovery feels like. And so I'm just grateful that I have a place to come and talk about this. And like I said, to be reminded of what it used to be like. So I'm thankful that all of you are on the line. And I hope that everybody has a blessed day. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you so much, Cindy D. So we do have time for another share.
Leia.
Ginger C.
Oh, I heard Leia S and Ginger C. Hey, how about if you guys each take 2 minutes and we'll fit you both in, okay? Because we do have time.
Thank
you. So, Leia, why don't you take 2 minutes and then we'll have Ginger C after you. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So, Leia S. recovered in Brooklyn and very, very grateful. So I thought I was going to have an easier, softer way. What was I running away from? I found out that I can be uncomfortable in an uncomfortable situation, and then know in my heart of hearts that I'm going to come out in a very, very wonderful situation that will not only take away the discomfort, but will also relieve me. And wow, I didn't even think about the food. I didn't even think about the food. These things, I had no idea that I could go through these things. Wow, that was a mind blower to me. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Leia S. So that leaves Ginger C 3 minutes if you'd like it. And please go ahead, Ginger. Star 1 to unmute, Ginger.
One day, Sherry, I'm going to get that unmute. Star 1. Okay. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Oh, thank you so much for your service today. Ginger C. recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And the result was nil until we let go absolutely. So, you know, just my experience, strength, and hope, you know, I wasn't done until I was done. And I was absolutely going to figure out how to still keep the food in play because it's my best friend. And, you know, so I thought I could have the easier, softer way just trying to manipulate and have it my way. And I'll never forget when I thought the sugar-free answer, like, oh, right, it's not white cane sugar. I can have this. And then I'm eating like 10 fudgesicles one night out of the box. And my husband's like, really, you're going to have another? And it's like, oh, too sweet for my tongue. So thank God we get to this place where we're beaten and we're done. We're finally done, convinced. Yep. I need help. I need it now. I'm willing and ready to do anything you say. And I love the set-aside prayer and just some history with it. It was actually a giant in the AA side named Don Pritz who started the whole set-aside prayer. And thank you, God, to Don, because I think it's one of the best prayers ever. Set aside everything I think I know, because that's my problem. I think I know a lot. And if I knew so well, why do I keep relapsing over and over and over? So Don was a big book enthusiast, and he took many, many, many people through the big book. And he was seeing that a lot of guys in AA were like, Don, I know this book. I can recite it inside and out. And he's like, why don't you set aside what you think you know and maybe have a new experience with the directions in this book? And so he put those words together, that set-aside prayer, and then one of his sponsees took it to the podium, and it went viral. And I'm so grateful it did, because I think it saves a lot of us today. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much. What beautiful shares all throughout this meeting. Very, very grateful. So we're now going to transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer, Newcomer Greeter, and announcements after we stop the recording. So, Alex G., will you please read page 164, A Vision for You? Star one to unmute.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.